Welcome to Movements in California, a podcast about migration and mobility justice, produced by the California Center for Ethics and Policy, or CCEP, at Cal Poly Pomona, and generously supported by the Cal Poly Pomona Special Projects for Improving the Classroom Experience Grant Program. My name is Brady Collins, Associate Professor of Political Science at Cal Poly Pomona, and Faculty Fellow with CCEP. This podcast will explore how migration and mobility are embedded in many of our public discourses, practices, and politics. While we often think of migration at the global scale, reflected in our immigration and refugee policies, everyday migration and mobility is also impacted by local and regional housing, transportation, and social policies that shape where we can settle, live, and work. While some are able to move freely across spaces with little consequences, others have limited options in the space they can traverse and access. This podcast will explore these issues as they relate to different policy areas, from immigration to criminal justice and urban planning. In this episode of the series, CCEP student fellow Gabriel Esparza shares with us the experiences of disabled students at Cal Poly Pomona as they navigate transportation infrastructure. We ride the Access LA bus with Gabriel on their way to campus and learn about how this crucial service has improved mobility for so many, including Gabriel. We ask that if you like what you hear, if you care about these issues, please share our podcast with your friends, family, and colleagues. Thanks for listening.
Hello, my name is Gabriel Esparza, and today I'm going to talk about public transportation. However, this may be different from other public transportation episodes you've heard before. While public transportation is a debated topic when discussing government budgets and city planning, today's focus is on an affordable alternative public transportation program that aids disabled and elderly communities unable to use mainstream public transportation. In an annual disability statistics commendum in 2015, 9,968,960 people lived in Los Angeles County, and of that number, 967,572 were part of the disabled community. While being disabled does not automatically correlate to having the inability to drive, a large population of disabled people in Los Angeles are not car dependent, nor are they able to take public transportation safely. It is under these circumstances that calls into question how this marginalized population of Los Angeles is affected by their mobility constraints, as well as how this population can claim their mobility autonomy and independence. Access Services in Los Angeles County is part of a network of numerous programs across the country that were created as a result of state and federal compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, that passed in 1990. The Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, prohibits the discrimination of people with disabilities in several areas. These areas include employment, transportation, public accommodations, communications, and access to local and state government programs and services. The rest of this podcast follows riders and drivers who utilize the Access program in Los Angeles County. Through these experiences, you will be engaged in numerous topics about disability, mobility, and how the Access program has impacted the lives of this marginalized community.
As a child, we rely on our parents so much that transportation didn't cross my mind until it was pulled away from me. I would lose my sense of direction. Because I couldn't see the signs, I also was getting the wrong bus and going to other cities that I had no idea where I was. For instance, the bus drivers, I would have to ask them, are you going to this stop that I need? And they would say no, or sometimes they would say yes, and I'd get on and pay the fare, but then as I'm going through, they wouldn't be going the direction I needed and end up in a different city. And they're like, I'm sorry, that was my mistake kind of thing, but I'm left stranded in another city having to try and figure out what bus to take back to my starting point and then try and get to school. Or sometimes I felt defeated where I just wanted to go home. And it was very difficult to travel independently. When I first started Access, it was because at the time I was commuting to college and I was relying so much on other people to guide me, and I was very anxious and nervous. And at the bus stop, especially when I started taking more classes and classes that were in the evening, there's a lot of people, and then at a certain time there's nobody and you're just there waiting for your bus, and it's very unnerving. And I had people kind of come up to me and try and talk to me and try and like grab my arm, and they're just very pushy and forward, like they know what's best for me because I can't see. And recently, because of my extreme vision loss and the use of the white cane, I feel like people are, they're not seeing me as a person with autonomy. They're seeing my disability and like, oh, poor you. And I just felt more and more comfortable using public transportation and more anxious that I couldn't do it independently. When I applied to the Access program, they had me go into an assessment evaluation. And through that evaluation, I was able to render their service. And the evaluation is like at one of their assessment centers. I went to the one that was closest by to me, and they provide transportation for that. They talk about what your limitations are, why you're not able to use public transportation. And it was a speedy process, but it was thorough. And then I had supporting documentation for my disability and visual impairment.
It takes a long time sometimes to get where you're going, but it's still, where else can I go from San Dimas to Venice Beach for $3.50?
How long you been doing Access?
Since 2000. But when you do your Access, just ask them for an approach from door to door, and they'll take you to the lobby or to the front door. Because I'm total, so I always do it like that. I go everywhere on it. I have a car. I have a 24-hour caregiver, but I like to go by myself. I like to do the things I can do on my own. But, you know, like in 2000, 2001, the train used to be a lot safer, but now it's horrible. So Access is cool, you know. I just usually don't go many places after dark. Just have to learn not to let people like that bother you, because, like I said, there's so many levels to blindness, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
You know, but no matter what, you're considered blind, whether you can see or not. But, you know, it depends on if it's cloudy or if the sun's out. It depends on a lot of things, you know, whether you have a good day or not, you know. Some people can't see on the side of them. Some people can't see, you know, they have peripheral and all that. It's like a lot of different stuff. Because I was saying, man, I thought everybody blind couldn't see nothing. But I realized when I went to Braille, there are people that are blind, but they could see good enough that they don't even need a cane. Been in my house 15 years, so it's like I know everything about it. I can go anywhere on that property without a cane. So I can go all in the back, and then I have a back house in the back. So I just go all over. My neighbors look at me like I'm crazy, because I do my plants in the middle of the night. And they say, how do you plant? I say, it's too hot in the day. I do it at night. And they say, well, how do you see? I say, well, I'm blind out there.
I just started on AXIS.
Oh, okay.
They took a long time processing my application because I applied in September of last year. So they took a long time, and so I've only used it about 3-4 times already.
How do you like it so far?
Oh, I love it. Because, see, I'm not from San Dimas. My friends are like in Montebello, Alhambra, up that way.
Okay.
You know, so they're, and I hated it because I missed my friends, you know. And so that's when I got, you know, access, and that's what opened up my world. Yeah, and this one, I take 20. So, oh boy.
Well, this one, you can take 50 miles.
What?
You can take 54, 50, 60 miles, 70 miles.
Really?
We take our passengers from Montclair to all the way to Canoga Park, Simi Valley, Northridge. Yeah. You just call your region and said, look, I want to go to Northridge. Mm-hmm. They'll book it for you.
But AXIS is they go all over LA County.
Yeah, that's what's nice.
And yeah, you just call them.
Our borderline is Montclair.
Yeah.
And from there, we start Chino Hill too. From Montclair, we start all the way to Valley.
Oh.
Long Beach, we go to Hollywood, Northridge Farm.
Yeah, they go to all great places.
You can go, we don't go San Diego, we can go Montclair. But you can go Orange County, Disneyland now.
Right.
Money that you're paying, $275 or $350, whatever?
I know.
You're paying to who? Not the driver, you're paying to the AXIS.
Mm-hmm.
Who collect from you on behalf of AXIS, and they would pay them end of the week. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a token, it's a small token that you guys pay to AXIS, not the driver. Driver just collect for the AXIS.
Yeah.
This is all AXIS machine. AXIS, you are charging an AXIS machine. I mean, if you use the card, it goes to AXIS account. If you get the coupon goes to AXIS. What are you going to do with the coupon? You don't know what, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you pay cash, that cash goes to AXIS also end of the week.
Interesting.
We don't get paid from the driver. We are not even allowed to take tips from you guys.
No.
Okay.
No. We get paid by the government. They pay us. They pay our company. Our company pays us per trip. AXIS has limited vehicle. Okay. And all of their vehicle is a wheelchair vehicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have only one chair in the back, which only two people can sit. And maybe hardly another chair in the front, which which another person can, but in the front there's no chair. The wheelchair goes inside and then attaches them to the locker. So how ambulatory, they are really tired of traveling with wheelchair. So ambulatory, they don't have any. So they hire a cab company like us. They hire 200, 300 cabs and then move the people around in the cab. And we get paid by trips. But is Uber and Lyft can do the same job? No.
They
cannot do our job because we have been certified. Our background check, our homeland security clearance, everything. A lot of drivers, not everybody can drive for AXIS. You have
Uber
to have
is expensive.
No home. What do you call it? Home violence? What do you call it? Domestic violence?
What?
Nothing is no misdemeanor, no
oh,
felony,
yeah.
Nothing. Oh, you go to jail. Oh my gosh, no, this is not for you. Each driver takes home whoever owns this cab, you know, if they work 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
How much they guess? How much they take home? $100,000. They
wow.
take home.
That's a good job,
yeah.
And then, well, it's a hard job too,
yeah.
And then, if somebody owns more than one, they rent their each cab $20,000 a year.
I always tell my rider. Don't make for your doctor appointment like tight. Like sometimes they have appointment 9:30, they reserve 9:00. I mean, this is shared ride. How did you make like 9:30 appointment? You don't even go your doctor like 9:00. At least you have to leave early, you know, to fight the traffic and to park and stuff like that. you have to be in your doctor appointment 10, 15 minutes early, right? They're like, oh, okay. Sometimes we're late because, no, even they say you have to make appointment, I mean, a reservation 2 hours and go.
Standard so 2 hours,
lady,
yeah.
She's like, this is my last time. I'm going to take access because I've been missing my doctor appointment. I mean, if you can afford it to pay for Uber or taxi, that's fine. Well, I have a lot of taxi driver cousins and friends, so they know about Access.
Is when they couldn't make their own money anymore from Uber and stuff, they came to Access?
Yeah, because the oldest taxi driver, they don't like to do Access because, you know, they don't want to drive too much, you know.
Yeah.
The latest one, which is the youngest, like I said, you know, they want to move around because the taxi business is big. I mean, it's still some, but it's not like before, you know. I used to drive for there's a global company, name is Global. That's the first time I started with, like, 10 years ago, I believe. That's the worst company. I mean, if you give them, like, 12-hour shift, you end up, like, 16 hours. They are not, I mean, they've been long time, but they are not organized. They're a mess. So I did, like, 3 months. I quit, and then I was doing school routes, like with the special kids, and then I was doing Uber, I was doing a lot, and then finally I end up on Access. Company, they're like, you know, very organized. I mean, if you give them, like today I give them 8 to 3, right? I'll be finished by 2:20. I don't have to go extra hours or anything, you know. If you give them 12 hours, you finish by like 10 hours, 30 minutes.
It's really a service that I am so grateful for because it helps me now to become more independent, knowing that I'm able to take from my house to where I need to go curb to curb. And it takes out of the equation getting lost, takes out of the equation having to rely on others besides your driver, who they're already on a route. They're on the route to your location. And it's a ride share where it's pick up and drop off, but I pretty much get to my location, if anything, maybe 20, maybe max 30 minutes extra if I have additional passengers. But it's not too bad. It's easier than the bus, and I feel more relaxed knowing that I can travel as independently as I'm able to. I think there's certain features like next day appointments where you're scheduling right ahead of time. That helps me be more scheduled and thinking of when do I want to go to the grocery store, when do I schedule appointments, and having that routine to schedule those rides, either one way or round trip, really is beneficial to me and beneficial to my daily living and functioning.
Special thanks to all the CCEP students who worked together over the past year to put together this podcast series, and for the ongoing advice of our CCEP faculty fellows, as well as the Cal Poly Pomona Special Projects for Improving the Classroom Experience Grant Program. And thanks to you for listening.